Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
We just played a bunch of clips from George Kliavkov, the new commissioner of the Pac-12. He'll take over July 1 for Larry Scott, signed a five-year deal today to become the next commissioner of the Pac-12. And to talk about it, a man who has been with the Pac-12 since day one, whew, you know, when the Pac-12 network launched, and now he's a host, Sirius XM Pac-12 Radio, and with the NFL Network, Mike Yam joins us. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great, guys. There's apparently a little news coming out of the conference. Why not on a May day, just randomly? Let's fire this up.
Oh, what was it?
I'm just kidding.
Look. New conference commissioner, he comes in, he steps in, and, you know, AJ said it earlier, it's easy to win the press conference, but he did a pretty good job of kind of rewriting kind of the messaging of the Pac-12 so far. What did you think of his introductory press conference?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, guys, he needed to, and he made reference to it. This was not a name that was floated out there. John Wilner, who I know you guys probably know pretty well, and hopefully has been on the show with you guys all over this for weeks and months. And there was a tweet that he put out before the announcement where he made reference to the fact that he had to quadruple check just because he thought someone was sort of pulling a fast one on him. And, you know, the reality is this is a guy that I think kind of came out a little bit of left field. But when you hear about his resume, I think there's clearly some things that his background says he can really do this job really well. So I will give kudos to the presidents at the Pac-12 schools for making this decision, finally coming to a decision. There's a couple things, though, and you mentioned messaging that I think are really important. Whoever got him ready for that press conference, he hit a lot of the touch points that have been a real issue over the last few years. I mean, I think it's some of the overt stuff where he made reference to the college football playoff and the expansion. That's something we've talked about on Pac-12 Radio a ton, almost to the point of nauseam, how this league needs to be the poster child of and wave that flag to why there needs to be more teams, more than just four teams in the playoff. Now, I think they were giving him that message point. I found it interesting that when he was pressed on it and was asked about what format he would like, he said he wasn't necessarily prepared to go into it. So to me, I think it's like, hey, I get it, guys. Mm-hmm. Football's really important. I'm going to say that we're going to put our emphasis on the revenue sports, and that's great, and it's awesome to hear that. I did hear a little bit about his media background, which I think is great because I think the league had to come up with something. There's a couple different paths here, right? It's the path of, hey, we're going to get a football guy who understands that sport and is going to elevate it to the point where it needs to be elevated. That's one path. And then there was the, hey, we need media rights. And that negotiation is really important. And what I find really interesting, Wilner, I missed it. I don't know if John had a separate conversation with him or I just missed it in the presser when I was listening to it. But I guess he had made reference to him being a part of the final negotiations, that he would be involved in that, but he thought it would be smart to hire a consultant. That's above my pay grade. I'm sure consultants are a part of that process no matter what. But that struck me as odd there, because I look at him as more of like the relationship guy with media entities and doing deals that he's done in the past, certainly with MLB and those types of things. So I found that fairly interesting. But clearly, I think he hit a lot of the touch points. And another subtle thing, and I'll shut up after this, it's and it was less of a Larry thing, but more of a Mark Shukin thing about the dual residence, San Francisco to Los Angeles. The one statement that popped to me was, hey, we're relocating our family to San Francisco and are going to be there. Now, Larry lived in the Bay Area. That was not an issue. But that was something that did resonate in those offices about Mark living really in Los Angeles full time. It came up in staff meetings. He had to address it, and that was something that he had worked out with Larry. And more power to him. Like, if your boss says you don't have to live, you can live where you want. Like, I'm not going to fault Mark on that situation. But that was an issue, I think, internally in that office.
And one of the things that he talked about, and you know more intimately than most, is just how big of a priority it is to get the Pac-12 network in more homes, to get more subscribers, to get it out on more platforms. How do you see him being able to advance not just the network, but expanding that to more of the digital space, more of like what he did with the MLB app and Hulu and things like that? What do you think he can do to make the Pac-12 easier to consume coast to coast?
AJ, it's a great question. And hell, if someone had figured that out a while ago, you might be introducing me as Mike Ann from the Pac-12 Network instead of NFL Network right now and Sirius Radio. It has been a sleeping giant, the elephant in the room. For a few years, the distribution has been a problem. And you're right. I think that background that he does have on some of those other carriers, those third-party services, whether it's a Hulu and an Amazon Prime. I mean, guys, those things have been floated out for years. We've been hearing about the connection with, oh, Amazon's going to go and take the Pac-12, or it's going to be Apple, or it's going to be Facebook. I mean, they were still touting Facebook. I saw, you know, statements in the Sports Business Journal from leadership on the network side referencing Facebook being interested. And I wanted to say, like, guys, you got to get your notes together, because Facebook, like, 3 months prior had said, or 6 months prior, said they weren't in the live sports right at that point. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, is this really a smokescreen? And I was, you know, I'm legitimately concerned because I want the place to do well. And I have a lot of friends that still work there. But look, there's some positive signs. The WNBA, Amazon strikes a deal with those guys. You know, I was talking to Coach Neuheisel about this, and Rick was with us at the network when we launched. And I said, you know, Rick, from your perspective, is it the money or is it the exposure? What's more important? And I had asked him that question a few months ago when I was filling in on his show on Sirius XM. And then I asked him again today with this news. And I don't think the answer necessarily wavered, but Rick was big on the exposure standpoint. I think I fall more on the money side, which maybe, I don't know, I say you can throw money at the problem. But, you know, I just think about the gap in revenue that the Pac-12 has compared to some of those other leagues. And if you think about it as like your retirement fund, well, they say to start really early because the compounded interest is really important over time. And I think the compounded interest, or just the revenue gap and the advantage that some of those other leagues have, just compounds over time. So I think the Pac-12 it's vital that they go and they get a deal, another big deal. Now, on the flip side, you could say, well, Mike, they took the money on the initial deal in the first place. And you're right about that. The exposure has been an issue for the conference. And I don't know how to necessarily solve it, because, guys, if it's Amazon, if it's Apple, pick whatever service you want, how many people are going to consume that content? I get it. That's where the puck is going. And everyone likes that phrase, and everyone gets that that's where you want to be. But we're not there right now. And there's a weird balance that this league has to strike with understanding, hey, when I'm on the East Coast visiting family, people are still calling it the Pac-10, and they're still not watching games that are happening out on the West Coast. So, like, that's an issue. That's a current issue right now. And then going and giving your rights to, you know, an Amazon or an Apple, I don't know if that necessarily solves that. But look, I don't want to think short term either. And I think that's, you know, and obviously new leadership now at the Pac-12, they're going to have to figure out the best approach. I wish I had a silver bullet and, you know, obviously, you know, could have been able to solve this years ago, but it's definitely a tough thing that they're going to have to solve.
We're talking with Mike Yam, SiriusXM Pac-12 Radio. One thing I loved that George Kilofkov was talking about at the very beginning of his introduction was he mentioned three things: name, image, and likeness, college football expansion, gambling. Like, he wasn't afraid to talk about the three big things that it seems like commissioners and people in college sports are afraid to talk about. Do you see those three things as the future of college sports?
Well, NIL is definitely one of the things that really can shape what we're looking at in this sport for really all, you know, sports at the collegiate level. I mean, that system, the transfer portal, those two things right off the top, I think we could be fast forward 5 years, 10 years, look at a very different collegiate model just based off of those two things. And the portal itself is really, I'd say even in the short term, guys, is really going to be an issue. You got all these kids that don't have places to go that are now in the portal that don't have full scholarships. I mean, that's such a huge, massive problem that I know that there's some discussion about, but I don't think people really fully understand the unintended consequences of the decision the NCAA made to allow this thing to happen. I get it. You almost felt like you needed to have it happen, but I just think even in the short term, it's going to be a disaster for a lot of college kids, which is really heartbreaking because from a football standpoint, guys, it's what 1.6% of college football players make it to the NFL. That's a lot of kids who now had a scholarship who aren't going to be playing, and we can celebrate the success stories on the transfers. The reality is it's way more kids who don't have that successful transition to their new school. So I would say NIL, the transfer portal, certainly comes to mind. And look, the legalization of gambling. And look, you get a guy from Vegas who certainly understands that probably better than most. How do you capitalize on some of those things? There was, you know, guys, might have been my third year at the network, something along those lines. There were sponsors from, and I don't quote me on this, although I know I'm on radio, but I don't remember the exact company. I'm just making this up. Might have been, you know, FanDuel or DraftKings, one of those types of companies that wanted to come in and do some deals. And because of that gray area between the amateur aspect of this and gambling, you know, that just, those things never materialized. So now as the perception of sports betting is really changing in our country, I'm wondering how much of a factor that's going to be now moving forward.
And the thing that impressed me the most, I guess, with those two things, we've talked ad nauseum about NIL and the NCAA and all the ways that it's been really the anchor, if you will, for this legislation, instead of coming out and saying, hey, NIL is coming and here's how we're going to harness its power. Here's the rules that we're going to make. The NCAA has just kicked the can down the road for a decade.
Oh, yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, well, I guess we'll wait for the Supreme Court, but also maybe we'll start July 1st. I feel like it's so impressive. Or how big of a deal do you think it has been, I guess, for him to come out here and say, not only are we recognizing that this is the future, but we as a conference are going to be the ones headlining where this goes.
Yeah, I think it's huge because we're even seeing different, you know, factions around the country in different states trying to handle it a little bit differently, which is, you know, I think a recipe for disaster. So I do think it's definitely a good deal. And the league, in a lot of ways, guys, and I'll say this even about Larry Scott, and there obviously has been some issues in terms of, you know, some of the decisions that were made, and we can Monday morning quarterback it, you know, till we're blue in the face. But Larry, for all the faults that he did have, there was a lot of initiatives that the league took place with him at the helm where the Pac-12 was at the forefront. You know, mental health is certainly one of those things that really stands out, and some of the initiatives around that, student athletes and some of the benefits that they get that weren't necessarily happening in other conferences, that was happening in the Pac-12. So I do applaud the conference from that perspective. But you're right, AJ. I, when I look at some of the things that are happening on the West Coast, you sort of have to be ahead of the game because from a financial standpoint, there are issues. From a winning standpoint, he made reference to it, you know, the strength of this conference. And I agree with that response. I mean, I don't know if you knew that question was coming or not, but it was a good answer. It was, hey, this league is filled with just awesome, tremendous academic institutions, but they haven't won in football and they haven't won in basketball in a really long time outside of what Stanford did on the women's side. Men's basketball hasn't won, and college football is, what, 2-7 in terms of playoff appearances. So that's not good, and that's not good enough to get it done. So this league has to not only improve that aspect of it, but I think needs to make sure that they're able to keep a lot of the best talent on the West Coast on the West Coast. And that has been a massive issue, I think. You know, and you guys are close to that Oregon program. Like, Cristobal has done a tremendous job dipping into Southern California and getting guys nationally. Those classes have been great that he's been able to put together, but that's kind of an outlier the last couple of years for this league. They are losing a ton of talent to other teams and other conferences, and that's got to stop.
Mike Yam, when you can't hear him on SiriusXM and the Pac-12 radio, you can see him on NFL Network. You're now stalking Mike Lynch, or not Mike Lynch, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan now at Levi's Stadium.
I was there yesterday for the schedule release. It was definitely fun. I poked into some offices that I wasn't supposed to be in, and I was ready to just kind of like, you know, shake hands and kiss some babies, but that didn't go down. Obviously, it's still a vaccination site, by the way, and I had my mask on the entire time except when I was on air.
That's awesome. Awesome coverage on the draft and schedule release yesterday. It's comforting having you back on our TVs with the NFL Network, Mike.
I really appreciate that. It's been a wild, rough year up and down for everyone, and I am so grateful. Like, you have no idea how grateful I am for the opportunities that I'm getting at NFL Network and Sirius Radio. But it's awesome to be with you guys and even to have that connection with the league, because I do miss it. You know, I know it was said earlier, but there's really so many great people in this conference, and to develop those relationships with everyone has just been, it's been great, and I miss it. And hopefully at some point I'll be able to get back onto some of these campuses, at least from the NFL perspective. I got UW and Stanford for their pro days. I campaigned a little bit for the Oregon one, but I didn't get it.
Well, Mike, we should do it again sometime soon. We really appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you.
Anytime you guys need me. Stay healthy, okay?
You too. Mike Yam, NFL Network, SiriusXM, Pac-12 Radio. He was inside the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. I mean, worked for the Pac-12 Network, the conference-owned network. And this conference has its warts. And George Kliavkov has got work cut out for him.
Yes, he does.
It ain't going to be easy. But at least he's going the complete opposite direction of Larry Scott, which is what every Pac-12 fan wants to hear.
There you go.
I love it. I just love to see it.
I just love that Yam almost basically admitted, like, dang it, I should have stayed at the Pac-12.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't his choice.
I mean it as fun.
He's
like,
the best.
Ah, dang it.
He's the best and the nicest guy.
Yeah. Oh, ever. He's the nicest. Nice. I met him when the Ducks played the Utes a few years ago down in Levi's Stadium.
Oh.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
That's funny.
My cousin Vinny.
There you go.
There we go. All right. Blazers can actually prove something tonight. They can actually prove it tonight. After Patrick with SportsCenter.
Now, from the Fan Sports Desk, a SportsCenter update on 1080 The Fan.
This update brought to you by Stretch Zone. Try Stretch Zone for free. Schedule your free 30-minute practitioner-assisted stretch. Find the Vancouver Stretch Zone at stretchzone.com. First on the Fan, Pac-12 have announced the hiring of George Kliavkov as the new commissioner. Kliavkov is the former president of entertainment and sports for MGM Resorts International in Las Vegas. In a press conference earlier this morning, Kliavkov made three things clear. The Pac-12 supports expansion of the college football playoff. Name, image, and likeness will be used to its full potential, and sports betting has a place in college sports. Kliavkov will take the helm on July 1st. Blazers back in action tonight after defeating the Utah Jazz last night, 105-98, lowering their magic number to avoid the dreaded play-in game to 1. That leaves us with their matchup tonight against the Suns in the desert. Tip at 7 p.m. You can catch that game on TNT. Blazers are 4.5-point underdogs. And busy night up in Seattle tonight as the Mariners have called up two of their most prized prospects. Outfielder Jared Kelnick will start tonight alongside righty Logan Gilbert. He'll get the start on the mound. Kelnick is the 6th-ranked prospect in all of Major League Baseball, while Gilbert is number 43. First pitch is at 7:10 against the Cleveland Indians. More sports scores and stories in 30 minutes. I'm Patrick Harris from the 10 of the Fan Sports Desk. Portland Sports Later.
New at noon. AJ and Dusty, weekdays noon to 3, before Isaac and Sue on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Shopping for auto.